أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
An announcement is that there will be the facility in the basement has been opened up, so when there is an overflow we can direct brothers that way inshallah. Alhamdulillah Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Wassalatu wassalamu ala habibillah khayri khalqihi sayyidina wa habibina ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال عيسى بن مريم يا بني إسرائيل إني رسول الله إليكم مصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة ومبشرا برسول يأتي من بعد اسمه أحمد فلما جاءهم بالبينات قالوا هذا سحر مبين وقال سيدنا علي كرم الله وجهه ورضي الله عن أوصاف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم أرى قبله ولا بعده مثله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقالت أم المؤمنين السيدة عائشة رضي الله عنها عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن فاحشا ولا متفحشا ولا صخابا في الأسواق ولا يعفو بالسيئة السيئة ولكن يعفو ويصفح وكما قال رضي الله عنها وبعد. Respected and noble ulama kiram, Huffaz of the Quran Kareem, honorable elders, Jama'atul Muslimin, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let us recite the Durood upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are extremely fortunate, and alhamdulillah thumma alhamdulillah, on the most precious gift of iman, and that is something we can never ever be complacent about, for indeed it is iman, and emanating from their good deeds in the injunctions of Islam, the only and sole means of every kind of success, happiness, inner peace and contentment lies exclusively only in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And how fortunate are we that Allah Azza wa Jal has linked us to that personality who is the most beloved to Allah, who is the most virtuous in the entire creation of Allah Ta'ala, our beloved master, may we be sacrificed for him many times, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is this month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Many important aspects of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken place in this month. The auspicious birth, the completion of the hijrah, the saddest moment when everything in Medina Munawwara had become darkened to the last particle, as Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says, the departure of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal as well. As far as that moment that can be undoubtedly classified as the greatest, most radiant moment in the entire history of this universe, the entry of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into this dunya, some opine the famous opinion, the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal. However, there are opinions about the 9th of Rabi'ul Awwal as well by some of the senior scholars, coinciding with the 22nd of April, the year 570-71, that moment that this universe had been waiting most anxiously for, many precursors and signs. In fact, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked, when had you been decreed a Nabi by Allah Azza wa Jal? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam lamun jadilum, was still merely between being formed in clay, and as yet life had not been blown into him, already Allah Ta'ala had decreed my being the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once mentioned about the absolutely pure and chaste lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is no person in the entire history of humanity who has a purer, more superior and virtuous lineage than that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For all of them had the honor of carrying down in their loins the nur of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lineage goes authentically many generations up to a personality called Adnan, who descended from the offspring of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, specifically the son Qaydar of Ismail alayhi salam, who was his successor. Adnan had a son called Ma'ad. Look at Allah's protection as mentioned in the books of Sirah. Now Ma'ad happened to be in that time when the powerful king of Babylon, Bukhtan-Nasar, Allah Ta'ala alludes to his attacks on the city of Jerusalem when the Bani Israel had inhabited it. Allah Ta'ala commanded the Nabi of the time, alayhi salatu was salam, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded him to take this little child Ma'ad, who was only 12 years old, who happens to be from the earliest forefathers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to take this child away, and commanded Bukhtan-Nasar that no harm should be caused to him. In this way Allah Ta'ala protected Ma'ad He was renowned for his outstanding attributes, as were many others in the lineage of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst the forefathers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Thihr was his name, and his honorary title was Quraysh. And from him the entire tribe derives its name, the Quraysh, the other tributary, the Kinana. Quraysh refers to a huge fish in the ocean that the Arabs knew and understood that it would overpower all other fish in the ocean, and nothing could ever overpower it. And such as that, the Quraysh were renowned for the valor, heroism, that they were looked up in awe by all the remaining tribes in the peninsula. Amongst the lineage was also a person called Ka'b. He was the first person to gather people on the day of Friday and deliver advices to them, emphasizing good morals, good character, to abstain from alcohol, to keep good family ties, etc. And then coming down closer to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the great-grandfather of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hashim, that the clan derives its name, the Banu Hashim. Hashim means that personality who crushes and breaks up something. And how does he get this name? That at the time in Makkah Mukarramah and its surroundings, there was a severe drought. People were afflicted with poverty. He would cook food, curry in huge utensils, and crush and break bread or roti into it, and feed the destitute, and therefore derives his name Hashim. En route to his trade business, journey, he passed by Medina Munawwara and eventually married a woman from the Banu Najjar inside of Medina Munawwara, Salma. From her he went onwards and eventually passed away in Gaza, where we know at this moment the atrocities in the last week against the Palestinian nation, specifically within Gaza and other surrounding areas. He is buried in Gaza. Before he had even seen his child, he passed away in Gaza. His wife, in the meanwhile, gave birth inside of Medina Munawwara while residing with her family to the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdul Muttalib. His uncle Muttalib eventually came and took him to his paternal family inside of Makkah Mukarramah. Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, possessed many outstanding attributes and qualities, had superseded even his father in generosity, renowned for feeding not only the pilgrims, the poor, the destitute, but took it to a further length that he was renowned for going out of his way to feeding animals, and he is known as Mut'imu Tayr as-Sama, one who had fed abundantly the birds and other creation of Allah Ta'ala. He possessed immaculate qualities in character. He was noble, he was brave, extremely tolerant, renowned for his honesty, his chastity, and his justice. And we know there were many precursors, pointers to the Mubarak birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are known as irhasat in the study of seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means a sign or a foundation, obviously, to the imminent arrival into the world of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all miraculous actions before, during, and after the birth, up to the point of becoming a Nabi, is known as an irhas. And thereafter, from becoming a Nabi onwards, it is known as mu'jizah. One of the greatest irhasat, an incident that Allah Ta'ala dedicates an entire surah of Qur'an al-Kareem to, the Ashabul Fil, Abraha, had marched, and in his army brought along elephants to serve as bulldozers, to break down the Kaaba Sharif. Allahu Azza wa Jalla, in protecting his house, and Abdul Muttalib at that stage, when he was called for discussions, when Abraha's armies had usurped his camels, he said that, "I ask you and plead with you to return my camels." Abraha remarked that, "I heard that you are a man of great integrity. When I'm about to destroy the sacred house of you and your forefathers, you're only asking me about your camels." He remarked, "I am the owner of the camels and I demand it. The house of Allah Ta'ala, the Kaaba Sharif, has a greater Lord, and he will definitely see to its divine protection." And when they come to what is the area known as Muzdalifah around there, a flock of birds sent by Allahu Azza wa Jal, Tayran Ababil, pelting with small little pebbles, and annihilates this huge and powerful army. This incident happened 50, and according to some historians, 55 days prior to the auspicious birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the greatest of the Irhasa, the grandfather of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdul Muttalib. Amazing incident in his lifetime. Just going back a little in history, the well of Zamzam, we know famously Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam, the great sacrifice of being left behind in Makkah Mukarramah. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam then marries into a tribe who had left Yemen because of drought, who also took up residence around the well of Zamzam, the Jurhum tribe. He married into that tribe. In later years, there were disputes between the offspring of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam and the Jurhum. Eventually, the progeny of Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam were overpowered and forced to reside on the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah. The Jurhum were dominant. When all the other Arabs collectively, seeing their oppression, their tyranny, intended to take action against the Jurhum, so they decided to forsake and leave Makkah Mukarramah, but not before closing up the well of Zamzam with sand and other important relics, bringing it to ground level so that it can never be recognized. They leave Makkah Mukarramah, the Banu Ismail take over, but forget completely about the well as the passage of time had gone on. And so its whereabouts remain hidden to humanity for a number of years. In the time of Abdul Muttalib, one day he is resting in the Hatim. He dreamed that a person comes to him, and let us fathom the magnanimity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the blessings that comes to every aspect of his auspicious, imminent arrival. Can we imagine the power of every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Abdul Muttalib is resting in the Hatim of the Kaaba Sharif. A person comes to him in a dream and says to him that, why do you not dig up Barrah, which means that which has piety? He says, what is Barrah? Before answering, the person goes away. Second night, another dream, the person comes and says, dig up Mad'una, that which has an abundance of goodness. Tell me, what is this? He says, before answering, again he leaves me. Third night, the person comes and says, dig up Tayyiba, that which is pure in goodness. He says, what are you referring to? The man goes away again. On the fourth night, the man comes and says, dig up the well of Zamzam. He says, what is Zamzam? The man then explains that there is such water, abundant in its blessings, never ending, and for centuries has and will continuously be a source of water for the pilgrims around Makkah Mukarramah. The man then shows him the specific markings within the dream as exactly where to go and dig. When he awakes from this dream, he summons, he was the leader of the Quraysh. They did not pay attention to what he had discussed to them. They said that you do what you have to do on your own, we are not with you. He takes his eldest son Harith, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and father go and dig at the exact spot, and he digs and digs, and eventually he sees a huge hole within there, exclaims the name of Allah Ta'ala, and then recovers the well of Zamzam and makes many, many ponds around it. Some people with evil intentions had to come and throw dirt into it. He made a dua that, Ya Allah, let this be halal for those who wish to drink, but not those who wish other intentions. People notice that when they come with evil intentions, they would be afflicted with diseases and refrain from doing that. So Allah Ta'ala had shown the rediscovery of the well of Zamzam amongst the blessings of the imminent arrival of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into this dunya. On the night of the auspicious birth, a Jewish trader, and this is mentioned in many of the books of Sirah, was in Makkah Mukarramah for business. He noticed some signs that were given in the previous scripture about the night when the final and greatest Nabi of Allah Ta'ala will arrive into this dunya. He is very, very restless. In the very early part of the morning, he calls his business colleagues from the Quraysh, inquire whether a baby has been born tonight in Makkah Mukarramah. They said to him, as far as our knowledge is concerned, no child has been born tonight. He says, please do me a favor and go and do thorough investigations. They return after a little while saying, and this was the night coinciding in the early part of that Monday morning, that most auspicious moment, the news is brought that yes, a child has been born in the home of Abdul Muttalib, the widow of his son Abdullah, the father of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says that this child, you will notice, will have the seal of prophethood between his auspicious shoulders, and he asks to be taken there personally. And when he sees the clear-cut signs on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is that very child, mentioned in all the previous scriptures, who will be the final and great beloved Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, he actually falls unconscious and says with a sigh that prophethood and nubuwwat has been taken out of the offspring of Ishaq alayhi salam forever and ever, transferred to the progeny of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and then says to the Quraysh that we learn in our scriptures that this child will become very famous, will stage such an attack on you that will become famous in the east and west, referring to the ultimate conquest, Mukarramah, Fath Makkah, the Battle of Badr, etc. And so we see many of these signs on the actual night. Fatima binti Abdullah, the mother of Uthman ibn Abil As radiallahu anh, was present in assisting in the delivery. She says that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, the entire room became illuminated. The mother of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not experience the usual pains synonymous with delivery. And she says very clearly, the entire horizon became so illuminated that she could actually see the palaces of the city of Busra in the far off lands of Sham and Syria, pertinent to where Islam would reach in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see further on in the surrounding superpowers, the Persian Empire, on the night of the Mubarak birth, according to narrations that may have been criticized but mentioned in many of the books of Sirah, 14 balconies or towers in the palace of Kisra, there is a tremor and they come crumbling down. There was Zoroastrians, fire worshippers, a fire that had burned consecutively for 1,000 years. On that auspicious night, without any explanation whatsoever, was extinguished. A lake and river in the surroundings known as Sawa, without any explanation whatsoever, suddenly dried up. One of the chief priests, of who already was now perturbed, had seen a dream wherein powerfully built, were dragging Arabian horses through the Tigris River and fanning out to different cities of the world. He requests and demands an interpretation. Abdul Masih al-Ghassani, a renowned scholar, was brought. When he hears this dream, he says, let me consult my maternal uncle who knows better than me. His name is Satih, in the lands of Sham. When he comes to his uncle, Satih is about to breathe his last in this dunya. Satih remarks to him that Abdul Masih now comes to me to ask the interpretation of so and so dream. On the night when the fire had extinguished and the pillars in the palace of Kisra had come crumbling down, he says that be very wary, these are clear signs. The time has come for that great personality to emanate and come into the dunya, will hold an asa, a staff, whose word will spread and his deen will become dominant. And the time when the word of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran Kareem, would be recited in great abundance in many parts of the world. And saying these words, he then passes on. So all of these, can we imagine the power, the barakat of every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hazrat Halima Sa'diya radiallahu anha has the great honor when they come to take little babies for the purposes of suckling in the Bedouin areas. The people of Makkah prefer to send their babies for breastfeeding, the purity of air, the purity of language. Arabic in its pristine and pure form was spoken there. And nobody wants to take the orphan child of Abdul Muttalib for fear that there wouldn't be a great remuneration. Eventually, that Halima radiallahu anha from the tribe of Banu Sa'd of Hawazin enjoys this great honor. And she takes and she says that prior to that, our areas were afflicted with drought. I hardly had milk in my own breast for my own children. Our animals, the others, had no milk whatsoever. The lands were completely barren. But she says, the moment I took this little child, Allah put His love into my heart. Immediately my breast was filled with milk for him and his foster brothers. Our animals, without explanation, were filled with milk. Wherever he went, there was barakat and blessing, so much so, that after 2 years, when she returned, she begged the mother of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to allow her to have him for a longer period of time in seeing the immense barakat and blessings. And once again, what barakat and blessings would they be in the obedience of the Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that great personality, the various Mubarak names of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is Ahmad, the one who will praise Allah Ta'ala abundantly. He is Muhammad, one who himself will be praised like no other has ever and will ever be praised in this world. He is Al-Mahi, the one who will come to eradicate Batil. He is Al-Hash, the first person to be brought alive on the day of Qiyamah, and thereafter entire creation will be brought alive. Al-Aqib, the last of the Nabis of Allah Ta'ala, after whom no other Nabi will come into this world. Let us look at the akhlaq and the character. So response to these great virtues is how fortunate. Shukr to Allah that Allah has associated and linked us to this most beloved of Allah Ta'ala, our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah had blessed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam perfection in character and in beauty. The epitome of beauty in humanity was found in every aspect. It is a topic for another discussion. The exact description, and this is the beauty of this ummah, authenticated chain of transmission about the exact number of white hairs on the Mubarak beard, the exact description of the eyebrows, the Mubarak eyelashes, the perfection of beauty found in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been transmitted in authentic chains. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala summarizes it so beautifully. لَمْ أَرَ قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ مِثْلَهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Neither before nor after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had ever seen anything more beautiful and more attractive. Some of the things of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, إِذَا مَشَا تَقَلَّعَ كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ مِنْ صَدَبْ. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would walk, he would walk vigorously, not dragging his Mubarak feet, resembling the walk of somebody who is walking downhill. Look at the akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, إِذَا الْتَفَتَ إِلْتَفَتَ مَعًا. Natural mannerisms that exude extreme humility. That when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would speak to a person, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would turn his entire auspicious self to that person, not just the eyes or the Mubarak face, giving full attention, denoting extreme humility. أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ صَدْرًا. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was extremely generous, more than a fast wing blowing wind. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was أَصْدَقَ النَّاسِ لَهْجَةً. The most truthful of human beings, the Quraysh themselves testified that we have never had one experience ever of falsehood in interaction with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam أَلْيَنَهُمْ عَرِيكَةً. Extremely kind and soft-natured, compassionate. أَكْرَمَهُمْ عَشِيرَةً. Originating from the most pure of lineages. Such is the akhlaq. مَنْ رَآهُ بَذِيهَةً هَابَهُ وَمَنْ خَالَتَهُ مَعْرِفَةً أَحَبَّهُ. When a person would come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's company the first time, would be overawed with the great presence of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But no sooner did a person start interacting, he had no choice but to fall deeply in love with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's humility, خَافِضُ الطَّرْفِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would by and large generally keep his Mubarak gaze lowered, would look more towards the earth than towards the sky, except when wahi was being revealed. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would look at others, it would be a mere quick glance instead of staring for a long time at a person. يَسُوقُ أَصْحَابَهُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when traveling and moving with his companions, preferably, unless for another reason, would prefer to remain right at the back. Humility, seeing to the needs of those who may have been lagging and slower and the weaker. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, يَبْدُرُ مَنْ لَقِيَهُ بِالسَّلَامِ. When meeting others, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would go out of his way to make salam first. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala attests and says, كَانَ يَعُودُ الْمَرْضَى وَيَشْهَدُ الْجَنَائِزِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would visit the ill, even if it is a weak, a slave, a poor person on the other end of Medina Munawwara, would attend janazas with the general core of Muslims. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would do the khidmah within his home with his own Mubarak hands, assisting in the household chores. So much so that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not consider it beyond his dignity. يُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الْعَبْدِ. Even if a slave invited Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not hesitate to accept the invitation of a humble, poor slave. يَرْكَبُ الْحِمَارِ. The conveyance of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was extremely humble and simple. Subhanallah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says on one occasion that if I am gifted a hoof of an animal, I will not hesitate to accept that gift. And if I am invited to a meal wherein the main cause is something as simple as a hoof of an animal being cooked, I would not hesitate to accept it. Conclusion, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, our most respected mother, and what a profound statement. She says that, O people, what is it with you that you are negligent from one of the great ibadah? She is asked, what do you refer to? And she says, humility and simplicity. Allah Azza wa Jalla, give me all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.